Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Thanksgiving. Today's special message for the Thanksgiving week. I hope that this week for you and your family is a time of rejoicing and a time of reflecting on all that God has done in this past year, and that we would give thanks to Him. So I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5, and let's read that together, shall we? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord in gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So that's one of the psalms that is called a song of ascents that the Jewish people would sing on their way up to Jerusalem when they were giving thanks. Thanksgiving is a characteristic trait that we need to really work on because it seems like it's fallen off quite a bit in our culture nowadays. So I think looking at what scriptures say about thankfulness will help all of us. And hopefully, since the whole nation has a Thanksgiving holiday, and very few people understand that giving thanks to God is the real intent behind it. When you read the proclamations back when Abraham Lincoln and the Congress enacted it, that we should be thankful to the God and the God of the Bible. Thankfulness is God's will for you. I think the Lord wants us to come to a place of thankfulness because otherwise the opposite of this is a sense of entitlement and a sense of give it to me because it's mine. And that seems really rude and crude, and it seems like we're moving that way a lot in the culture. And we need as Christians to always express thanks to God and to people around us. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The will of God for us is to be thankful. And again, I think it is kind of an antidote to the thanklessness that seems to be pervasive all around us. So be thankful to God because it's His will for you. People always ask, what is God's will? Well, here's one for sure in black and white. Give thanks in all circumstances. And by the way, that means even circumstances that aren't entirely positive. Like, can you give thanks to God when you're sick? Can you give thanks to God when things aren't going well in any way? To learn to give thanks to God in times of difficulty means that you'll be thankful to God even in, especially in times of blessing. Our thankfulness is inexpressible. It should be, anyway, inexpressible. In 1 Peter, Peter, speaking to the Christian, says this, you haven't seen Him. Our thankfulness, I mean in this sense, our, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, our thankfulness is something that's quite inexpressible as a Christian. We have no way of really saying what needs to be said. You haven't seen Him, says Peter, 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9, but you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there's an inexpressible, inexpressible means exactly what it says. There are no words, there's no emotion that can say to God what needs to be said. In other words, I think it just needs to be experienced. Get saved, turn your life to the Lord, follow Him, and the thankfulness that will be in your heart will be a thankfulness that will last forever. Thankfulness drives away anxiety. We always talk in our culture about stress and being stressed out and being busy, all of these things that happen in life, and thankfulness has a way of causing that to minimize, causing that to not become such a prominent feature in your mind. Philippians 4, 6, turn there with me. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry How many of you out there are worry warts? How many of us are panicked about the things that might happen or could happen? And it'd be better, I think, if we took the admonition in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Again, this admonition about in all circumstances, in everything, in the good times, in the bad times, in the times of doubt, in the times of sorrow, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it's something that will help you. It'll drive away anxiety, because anxiousness and worry, it causes people to have all manner of health issues later on. And it creates, in my opinion, an environment inside of human relationships and in your mind and with other people, an environment that is not comfortable. If we continue in Philippians 4, that was verse 6, this is verse 7. Thankfulness will bring God's peace to you. To have the peace of God in your life is something that I don't think you could buy this anywhere. People look for to be mellowed out by drugs or by alcohol or all kinds of artificial stimulation. We look for peace in a lot of avenues. When I was growing up, there was the peace movement, and it was all about free love and sex and drugs and all of this stuff, but it didn't bring any peace to people. It really didn't bring peace. It brought a lot of division. It brought a lot of rebellion. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, when you do this, what is admonished in 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding. Which transcends understanding. We can't tell you why this is true, is what Paul is saying. Can't tell you why, but when you cast all your care on the Lord, when you pray to the Lord about all things going on in life, God's peace comes, and it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is not an easy character trait, I guess, to develop. It's not, because when things are hard, they're hard. When things are challenging, they're challenging. When you face cancer, or when you face relational problems, divorce, misunderstandings, it's difficult. But it's a habit to try to get into in the moment. In other words, when you're going through the thing, whatever it is, say, God, I don't understand this. I don't like it. It doesn't feel comfortable. Be honest. And then it says, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. But I pray, God, that you'll help me. Help me to be the person I'm supposed to be in this. Help me not to be anxious and trying to control. Help me to just trust you to work things out. I think that's what's being admonished here in Philippians 4:7 and 6 and 7. Next, in Ephesians 5:20, you are to be thankful. We are to be thankful in every circumstance. It's a repeat of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but it's in Ephesians 5:20. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For everything means for all that happens in life. Let's say it's the death of your mother-in-law, like just happened to us recently with my wife's mother passing away. We give thanks because she's not suffering anymore, and she's not having the ravages of a health problem that was really making her life kind of miserable. And it also delivered my father-in-law from having to do 24-hour care for her. And so there's a thankfulness in it. And more than anything, there's a thankfulness that she, being a Christian, is in the presence of the Lord Jesus now and free from all of that. So there is thankfulness, and there should be and can be thankfulness in everything if you look for it, if you ask the Lord to help you to see it. Thankfulness must be habitual. There's habits in this world. We get into bad habits, drugs, alcohol, smoking, overeating, whatever. Habits are really difficult to get a hold of once they're habits. So to change habitual behavior requires a continued doing of the same thing. If you want to break an old habit, I've read somewhere that you have to do it for at least 40 days. It's interesting that 40 days and nights is all over the Bible. 40 days and nights, Moses was up with God in Mount Sinai. 40 days and nights, Jesus was out fasting in the desert. 40 years, the Israelites were out wandering in the wilderness until their children went into the promised land. There's something about 40. So try to get into the habit of doing something for 40 days straight, 40 days and nights straight, and it'll probably sink into a new habit in your life, okay? You're not going to be able to get into thankfulness if you're not trying to do it all the time. Again, this is something that I believe takes training. It's easy to talk about, way hard to actually do, because if you have the personality that is geared to be almost angry or worried or upset about what's happening in life, you won't break that unless you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to give thanks to you in the midst of the difficult thing, and I'm going to do this for 40 days straight and see what happens. It's got to be habitual. Look at Daniel 6:10. Daniel learned that the decree had been published to worship a false god, and that's what this decree was. So he went home to his upstairs room at his house where the windows were opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So Daniel, we read about Daniel, and he's called in the scriptures in the book of Daniel by one of the angels, by Gabriel. You are highly esteemed. So his habits, his personal habits were to pray three times a day, to read the scriptures, to seek the will of God in his life. But this was habitual. It wasn't something that he did because it was an emergency, and if you don't worship this false god, we're going to have you executed and thrown into the lion's den. So Daniel had this habit already going, and that's how he was able to face a crisis situation. So let's get into a habitual thankfulness, and that means start doing it. I don't know what it means for each one of you. It's don't make it some kind of a religious thing that you've got to do, and if I don't do this, God's not going to be happy with me. Do it for your own sake. Just like, you know, I'm not one to talk about this, but working out, you have to make it habitual. Go out every day, go on the walk every day, go to the gym every day. It has to become habitual. That's how habits form. You start smoking. If you smoke one cigarette a day, then two, then a pack a day, then before you know it, your lungs are filled up with tar and nicotine, and you wondered how it happened, because it became a habit. Same thing with drugs. You tried it once, then twice, then once every weekend, then every day, then before you knew it, it took over your whole life. Same thing with alcohol. So we need to break the bad habits and replace them with habits that are good habits. That's why the programs that are set up for people with addiction problems actually work, because you get into a new habit where you start going to the meeting every day or twice a day. You start replacing the old habit with a different habit. And in the meeting, you have people who ask you, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. I'm really tempted. I'm struggling. And so they're able to support each other and encourage each other. So to be thankful, to get into a habit of thankfulness, I think is going to take a lot more than just hearing a sermon about it. Next, in Colossians 3:17, thankfulness is a lifestyle. It's almost the same as saying it's habitual. Whatever you do, Colossians 3:17, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So everything that we do, it's not I'll be thankful when I get the big paycheck. I'm thankful when I get the promotion. It's a attitude of a lifestyle. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the sunrise. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the snow. Thank you for everything that you see, everything that you experience. Thank you, God. You've given me ability to see all of this and experience all this. It becomes a lifestyle. Whatever you do, that means whatever your career is. This isn't just for only Christians who are full-time ministers. They're the ones that really are doing and living for God, because they do it every day for 24/7. All Christians are 24/7 Christians, right? The Bible says we're all a royal priesthood. So whatever you do, drive to work, set up at your desk, start doing whatever work it is that you do, all of that, whatever you do in word or deed. Word is a hard one to get a hold of, because if we did it in the name of the Lord Jesus, let's say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that what I say today to my boss or my neighbor or my kids or my coworkers, that it is beneficial for them. It is a blessing, not a cursing. And I think a lot of us get into the habit of just starting to live life without this thankfulness and a lifestyle of, Lord, you've given me life, you've given me breath, you've given me intellect, you've given me who I am, what I am. I'm not perfect, but I give you thanks. It's a lifestyle. It must become a lifestyle. And in order to become a lifestyle, it has to become a habitual, constant, Lord, I give you thanks, I give you thanks. That's why the Psalms are full of expressions of thanksgiving. The Psalms are songs sung to God, thanking God for rain, for crops, for the herds, for the flocks, for life. We need to get into this as people. Thankfulness tempers your prayers. Colossians 4, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So something about thanksgiving causes prayer to have a more tempered effect. You keep yourselves in prayer, you're devoted to it, but you're alert in it and you have an attitude of thanksgiving. Why is he talking about it that way? Because some of the things that we have to pray about are real difficult things, like somebody's experienced a tragedy or someone died or got bad news about their health or whatever, or they're going through a divorce or there's something happening that's an emergency, that we need to keep alert in prayer and stay devoted to prayer. Lord, please help so-and-so as they go through this. Help them and help me to say the right things to them. And I thank you that I'm part of this and that I can be one of the people that is in ministry towards this person or this situation. I give you thanks. So thanksgiving tempers your prayers. I guess it makes your prayer more focused, I would say, more pointed at the situation. Next, it is the remedy, the thankfulness of the Bible. It's the remedy of God against this crazy living that we live nowadays, this rust, vida loca kind of life in the fast lane living. Do not get drunk with wine, says Paul in Ephesians 5:18, which leads to debauchery. Debauchery is a word that means no boundaries, no motivations, just a senseless, useless existence. Debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being filled with drugs and alcohol and party and vida loca, be filled with the Spirit of God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like having God in your life. Nothing. You'll never experience anything akin to having God and the person of God in you and in your life. The filling of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, who is God in spirit form. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is God in spirit form. And Jesus said, God is spirit. So when we say be filled with the Spirit, we're asking, well, the Bible is asking us to be filled with God. Speak to another, to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's something about music that is so powerful and so uplifting. It can create a lot of emotion. The minor keys give the emotions of sadness and the major keys gladness. And it's just amazing how psalms and hymns and spiritual songs can encourage people. One lady told me when she went through a tragedy, the only thing that got her out of the depression funk that she was in after it all was singing, listening to songs, Christian music, and that's what lifted her up. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Now, some of us aren't musical at all. So what should you do if you're not musical? Well, get some good music and listen to it. It's very, very effective in helping you to learn scripture, helping you to focus on giving thanks. It helps you to have a great right attitude towards the Lord. There's great Christian music stations that you can listen to. And if you're not into listening to radio, there's all kinds of manner of finding the kinds of music that you like. Somebody just dropped off a folder for Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra going to be performing Handel's Messiah for the Christmas season. So that's always cool to go to. Always give thanks to the Lord for everything, to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thankfulness is the antidote remedy to crazy living. You can be thankful even in, you can learn thankfulness, should I say. You can learn it. It's not something that happens immediately. You learn it even in hard times. This is a, it says to do this in the Bible, but it is not as easy to do as it says it is. In other words, it's easy to say, hard to do. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, character, hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So Paul the Apostle is talking about something that he has lived, not telling people to do this. He actually has lived this. He suffered a lot for Christ. God, the Lord said to Ananias, the man that was tasked to baptize him and to disciple him, this man will suffer. I'll teach him what it is to suffer for my name. And in this, Paul comes to the conclusion, I rejoice in my suffering. This is something that he lived out. One time it says that he thought he had the sentence of death on him, but he was delivered. Another time he asked God to take away from him the difficult circumstance that he was in or the difficult problem he was facing. But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So then he goes in that particular passage, therefore I glory in my weakness, i.e. my sufferings. Now, I know that it's not that we're that Christianity is teaching some form of masochism, because in some expressions of Christian faith, like in the Middle Ages, there came this mentality that denying oneself, wearing sackcloth, beating oneself and eating nothing but bread and water, that was, God would like that. That's not what's being taught here. It's as you live life, as you go through the motions of life daily, and as you face the things of life, the sufferings that go on, that come to us all, the bad news about health or a loved one who died or even yourself, something that happens in life that's so hard to face, that all of these sufferings produce, if you're looking, if you learn this, you can get this thankfulness that is, it doesn't make any sense humanly, because it's, what do you mean you're thankful for that horrible thing that happened? I'm thankful for it because it's teaching me perseverance, character, hope. There's something about this that we all need to really look at harder, I think. There are plenty of good books about people who came from very adverse and difficult circumstances to overcome them and to become really, really effective in life. So you can learn thankfulness even in hard times. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying that it is something you're a Christian, so just be thankful even when things are wrong. I think that that's shallow, superficial. One lady that I read about was told by all of her Christian friends when she lost her husband, oh, don't cry, he's in heaven. And then when she lost her son, tragically, oh, don't cry, he's in heaven, because they were both believers. And so she didn't cry, she didn't grieve, she didn't mourn. And eventually she had a nervous breakdown. So we're not saying that you shouldn't feel when you're going through hard times and through challenges, and that you don't sense this loss of a loved one, or even depression, these things that happen to us. I feel sad today. There's nothing wrong with feeling sad. Staying stuck in sadness for the rest of your life is. God will teach you through all of the things that you go through if you let Him. But remember, we walk through the struggles and the problems. We're not going to evade them. They're going to come to our lives. And if we can all learn how to thank the Lord even in difficult times, I think our lives will be much more fruitful. Next, thankfulness characterizes, thanklessness characterizes the times of the end. And we might be here, I don't know. I'm looking around me, I'm seeing a lot of attitudes and behaviors of culture and people in today's world, and it's almost really kind of scary what we're seeing, because it's like, wow, are people going to get a hold of themselves? 2 Timothy 3:1-4, the last days will be perilous. People will be lovers of themselves, of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Be careful about getting too far into the, yeah, that's for sure, that's what everybody's like nowadays, because then we start to get cynical and we start to point the finger at people and be condemning and I'm holier than thou attitude. If we are living in these times, and if you think that all around you this is what's happening, it gives you the opportunity to be a light in all of that darkness, to be one individual who is different in the midst of all of that darkness, okay? So you can shine brightly even if you have a very small light in a situation like we just read. Thanklessness characterizes the end times, and it's one of the reasons, by the way, that God does return and end everything, because he won't let it go forward because it becomes too painful for everybody, even for creation. Thanklessness will actually be judged by God. In Romans 1:18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain, because God has made it plain to them. Because the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, are clearly seen in his creation, being understood from what he has made, so that mankind, men and women, they're without excuse, for although they knew that there's a God out there, there's a being out there, it must be a big being who can do all of this, they don't glorify him, and they don't give thanks to him. My wife and I like to watch nature shows, and it's interesting to me how the narrators never credit God with feeding the animals or creating the oceans, or it's all like it all happens by itself, and the ocean feeds the forest and the forest feeds the ocean, and God has nothing to do with it, is what they're saying. And I think all of that, I'm so glad that that's going to go away in eternity, that we're not going to hear that anymore. We're not going to hear people saying, yeah, all of this came into existence all by itself, and there is no God, and it just happened, and all of the complexity, all of the tremendous creativity and amazing mechanism of how it all works. It's all credited to God, and if you're a Christian, you know this. I don't believe one iota any of these evolutionary teachers. They're hating God. They reject God. They don't give credit to God at all. That's what the whole belief system is all about. And they basically are so arrogant that they say to us who say that we believe in a creator God, they say to us that we are unscientific and we don't know what we're talking about. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't acknowledge God. You don't acknowledge the creator. You don't give thanks to him or give credit to him where credit is due. So don't tell me that it's me that's not scientific. You're the one that's not. It just bothers me so much that this thing has become so pervasive. It's almost like a religion. If you don't believe it, if you don't agree with it, if you don't worship it and fall down at its altar, you are rejected, you are ridiculed, you are made fun of. Okay, well, it's time for me to make fun of it back. Thankfulness. I don't know why I went there. Thankfulness joins an eternal worship. Thankfulness joins an eternal worship. So I'm sorry for getting negative on that. It just bothers me that people don't give credit to God for all of this wonderful life that we live in. Thankfulness joins an eternal worship. There's something going on in eternity that is nothing but thankfulness. In heaven, when you read about it, the thankfulness that is there is absolute and pervasive with all beings, angels, redeemed, all beings are thankful forever. They're always forever thankful. When I first would read this, I would think, man, don't they do anything else? Is there anything else to do? You know, can't I go like go to the wood shop and make something? Again, I think what is being featured in Revelation about the thankfulness to God is so beyond our understanding that it's hard for us to get our heads around it. So let's read in Revelation 4, 9 through 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, that would be God, and who lives forever and ever. Again, that's God. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay down their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, our Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all of those things. You made the fish in the oceans. You made the water. You made the microorganisms. You made the trees. You made the air. You made it all work. You are the one that created. And by your will, they were created and they have their being. In Revelation 7, 9 through 17, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God and they said, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom, and here it is, thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. In other words, in eternity, the thankfulness towards God will be absolute, and it'll come from the lips of every creature, angel, elder, redeemed. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. The great tribulation mentioned here is simply life. The world that we live in, the fallen world full of sin and sinful people and us too, and all that we have experienced in this fallen creation, we're finally out of it. We've come out of it, and we're now in front of this God who is so full of life and beauty and intelligence that we're finally in a place where we'll be able to give thanks forever. We won't have to say, thank you, God, for this bad, awful thing that happened, because nothing bad, awful will happen anymore. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Sounds like a fairy tale when you read it, but that's what thankfulness is really all about. We're heading to a place where thankfulness will be 100%. So I encourage you to, this Thanksgiving, really give thanks to your God for the numbers of blessings that he's given. But the first and foremost blessing that is the most important is he saved your soul. He opened your blind eyes and your deaf ears so that you could see who he is and his salvation and hear the word of God. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And thank you, God. You are beyond words. How can we express to you what we should? As Peter said, it is inexpressible. Who can even really ever sum it all up anyway? We thank you. You've given us life and breath and everything else. And on top of that, you've given us promises now of eternal life and a place of existence where there is no more pain and suffering. We can't even get our heads around that because that's all we see. That's all we experience here. Our loved ones get sick and die. Our lives are full of tragedy and there's always some awful drama happening. We turn on the news and we hear of some horrible thing that happened somewhere. And Lord, it's always this bad news all around. But help us, Lord, to stop focusing so much on the bad news and focus on the good news of you and your person and your salvation and your Holy Spirit and your promises. Thank you, God, for being a believer. Thank you, God, for being redeemed. Thank you, God, for being filled with the Spirit. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for humility. Thank you for friends, loved ones, family members, co-workers. And yes, God, thank you, even for those who do not believe in you. Thank you because they challenge us. They challenge our faith. They challenge us to think about why we love you and why we believe in you and what you say. So thank you, God, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.